Hello and welcome to another episode of the Red or Dead podcast. I am your host, Andre Dixon. Very, very happy with the crew, with my familia, Suki, Maria, and Ellie. It wasn't in any particular order. It's just, it's in the order that I was looking.
Your favourite. That's Zoom. Why you went for Suki first, didn't it?
No, no. All right. In that case, it'll be Maria. Hey. And others.
That's it. Crowd pleaser. Like a true politician. We won't go there.
Answer, Maria, after ripping me and Ellie just before the podcast started.
I'm quite shook by that, actually.
Unbelievable. Well, you know what? We're all happy because we are, you know, on the bounce of another victory, which leaves us top of the league with, I don't know, how many points we got. We got 2 points ahead of Man City.
25 and 2 points clear Man City. 25 points, 10 games played.
And of Arsenal, which is most important to me.
7 points clear.
Seven. In French, sept.
Wow.
Oh, let's all laugh. You know what? Anyway, before we get into the games, obviously we will obviously review the game that was against Brighton Hove Albion that gave us a bit of problems. Okay, set my heart rate very high unnecessarily on a Saturday. And then obviously we're going to predict the next two games against Bayer Leverkusen and then Villa, I believe. But most importantly, how are you guys? I'll start with Veli. How are you?
You know what? I'm tremendous, actually. Yeah, very good. Like I said, I actually was at the game for the first time, which is amazing. Because
you got to tell us more.
I will do. I'll save that for the actual thing. But all in all, around, life kids. Is good. Yeah, gather around. I'll tell you stories about how I started a chant about Arne Slot. Oh, no, I've let out the bag already.
No, did you start that one?
At the end. Because you know what? Okay, I will say this. Let me say this one thing.
Well, just sit and listen.
I'll tell you this one thing, though, that I thought was amazing. Because I don't know about you guys, but when you go to ground sometimes, when someone starts singing a song, like, sometimes they just sing and no one joins in. But, like, you know, but at the Kop, it's like the moment anyone starts a song, like, literally everyone joins in. Like, literally. And you know what I thought was amazing as well is that it wasn't... I was expecting to be, like, loads of older, hardcore ultras, you know, that type vibe. But it was loads of families, quite young, you know, real mix. Yeah, it was really nice. And so, yeah, because of that, I just thought at the end when Slot came out, I was expecting someone to, you know, start the, oh, no, Slot, la, la. And no one did anything. I was like, you got to be kidding. We just had this amazing game, incredible atmosphere. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I did. And then everyone just joined in. So I was like, yes, go
that's
on.
That's sick. Did go you on, record call. It?
No, I was too busy singing to record. No, like a true good. Fan. Like a true fan. Like a true fan. Sorry? Do I sing it now? No, I don't. It's too much pressure. More pressure now than at Anfield, actually.
Well, I just had to say that when I started my Mo Salah chant, I had that recorded just as evidence. Suki knows because I sent it to him, first of all. And that's a fact. I started off the stadium round chant of Mo Salah.
Suki, is this true? Don't say nothing.
It's true, but I've got a little less respect for it now after your comments of how easy it is to start. So you kind of demeaned it for me.
No. Sorry, don't listen to him. Maria, no,
it was good. I think it's Dre and his brother absolutely killing it. Dre was obviously very, very drunk, but to be fair to him,
obviously. What are you trying to imply?
No, I was merry. Merry. I was just happy to be there.
That's the season.
I'll move on to Maria very quickly. How are you?
All good, feeling good. Loads of good stuff happening. Can't complain.
Good. And Suki, you're well?
All good. Right. Happy with how Liverpool are doing.
Let's start because it wasn't going very well in the first half. I'll come to you very quickly, Suki, because
The first Brighton game. We've got to do the other Brighton game as well.
Okay. Yes, actually, we should go to that. Yeah, all right, we're going to go over that really quickly. Obviously, yeah. Carabao Cup. We beat them 3-2. Oh, yes. Sorry, everyone. I'm trying to catch up with everything at the moment. So 3-2. And then Joe Kwanzaa had a game of ups and downs. Now, I'll just say this just before we talk about it. Any fan that goes at Gerald Quanza or any Liverpool player, I don't care whether we all got our favourites and we all got players that we think should never wear our shirt ever. But you know what? When they're playing, they're doing their best. No one's playing bad on purpose. Maybe Torres did at one point when he downed tools. And I'll never forgive him for
steady
that.
Now, but steady even, now.
Sorry. Yeah. But I don't think any fan, real fan, should actually be, you know, coming out on social media or slagging off any of our players. If you do that, piss off to Arsenal. You can go to teams like that where they're going to turn on their fans. Sorry, the fans turn on their players and manager at a drop of a heartbeat. Piss off over there. Anyway, so Ellie, can you sum up quickly the Carabao Cup victory against Brighton last week before we played them again in the league?
Yeah, so in true Arne Slot fashion, he did do as much as a rotation as I felt he could, really, especially at the back where it was Quanza starting, and in fairness, and then he had Robbo starting as captain, actually, which I thought was interesting in itself. But yeah, I didn't think Robbo had the best of games. But needless to say, it was one of those. It was a tough game away from home. We had Gakpo up top, and Szoboszlai was playing a striker. That's because obviously Chiesa's not fit. Jota's still injured, and on the right we had Diaz, I believe. So he tried to rest as many. Endo started. I actually thought that it was the kind of game that I'd hoped for in a way, but I didn't think we needed to concede as many as we did. But all in all, it was good. A lot of players got a good run out. Minimal fuss, not really any injuries. Away from home at Brighton, not an easy game. They're a tough team. I did get a bit nervous when Mitoma came on and was embarrassing.
No.
Conor Bradley, he was killing us. But all in all, it was a solid day's work. Beautiful goals by Gakpo and a cheeky one by Diaz to finish off. So, yeah, happy days.
Lookie, what was your view of the game? It was quite, you know...
Yeah, very similar. I was expecting a lot tougher game than it actually was, given the side we put out. But I thought we were in cruise control through it all. I never felt worried. And then when Gakpo got those two absolute bangers... I just always felt it was easier. And I think that's one of the reasons we gave those two goals away as well. So I wasn't really ever worried. I wasn't really concerned we were going to lose it. And I was going into the game. I was looking at it as a tricky away fixture that I could easily see as potentially losing on the day if our sort of second team wasn't up to scratch. But Gakpo, we didn't mention him on last week's episode, but for me, he's been unbelievable. The stats he's pulling, and he showed it again on the weekend. I think he's. I said it after the Euros. I think he should be starting for us, and I think he is probably one of our most informed players at the moment. And the thing with Gerald Quantrill, I would just want to say is, I've no issues with what he's like. I know he's made a few mistakes already this season, but when you show those levels at that age last season so consistently, I just think that shows how high your ceiling can be, and you're going to be inconsistent when you're not playing week in, week out, and it's under a new manager and you're still young. So I'm not really worried about that. We know what VVD can do with a centre-back partner. So I think when he gets his chance again, I think he'll perform, and I still do see him as one for the future. So yeah, I'm with you. No hate for Quans Russell.
Eddie? Oh, sorry, Maria.
It's me, never mind. that was a joke, obviously. Yeah, I think I thought they did well. There was nothing, I can't just echo what everyone said, really. I think Gakpo, as Suki was saying, I think he's fantastic, and he's got this quiet confidence about him, and it just works every time. So yeah, nothing to add. I was disappointed they conceded, but it is what it is. And the main thing is that we're winning. So I was happy with that.
I understand how, you know, Quanza can be to blame at one of them where he just went to block. Like, that happens, you know, every game in every Saturday, Sunday over the weekend in any league, there's a deflected goal that goes in off of a defender. So I don't really get why people hating about that. Yes, I do think that is something he has to work on, which is the lack of concentration. Or when he tires, then he just seems to pass inside. And I don't get that. Just like, you know, I'm not saying kick it out. I'm not one of those people, but like, just play safe.
Kanate's really good at that. Kanate's so good at, even when he's under pressure, he can find that forward ball and actually split through a midfield.
Yeah, I think he's adjusting to the new way of playing, which is obviously to keep control of the ball and keep possession. But bro, like sometimes you know, if there's no pass on, please just find the exit door. Not trying to find some elaborate pass in the inside. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, let's go to the game that
we quickly as well, Dre. I just want to say, Matt, the best for once we got a very good draw. I just have to say as well, Southampton.
We got Southampton.
Southampton away.
Away.
And because they're all Premier League teams and through to the quarters, so I think that's probably the easiest of the lot. Yeah, it's away, but I don't think we could have got a better draw. So all in all, very happy. Let's win it again.
I'm not like rushing this, like the League Cup, but we've done that, and I think that's like a in case of emergency break type of award.
See, I kind of see that as our cup now. I kind of just want us to go
really?
And just get it in the bag.
Yes, same, to be honest.
Possible for, with the holders,
and with Ellie,
we got the easiest draw out the remaining ones. There's some there's some big teams knocked out. City obviously losing. So who we've got? We've got Arsenal, Tottenham,
Newcastle,
United, Newcastle. I think left. And some of those play each other. So
yeah, Tottenham, Manchester United playing each other, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. So I just want us to go and win this. Actually, I think we can beat any one of these teams, and what that will do for confidence. Picking that up in February.
I mean, we have to play a full, almost like a full team. And that's the only thing that worries me is like we're playing a lot of games. These players are playing a lot of games, and that is the least necessary trophy. And because we have to play the pretty much the first team because Richard Hughes has sold all of the rest of the team. So
we had enough to change it against Brighton this last week's, and I think that's where this Southampton fixture favours us as well. We don't have to go for our first team again. We can rest some of these players. I quite like this bringing Salah, Nunes and co on sort of the 60-65 minute mark, because you're still keeping them fresh for the weekend, but you're seeing what the others can do beforehand.
Well, my lord, we needed Salah to be fresh, and it actually worked in that regards. So let's go to finally the game that gave us nightmares during one half and ecstasy in the next. Maria, I'm coming to you. What is your view of the victory that was against Brighton? Again, obviously at home this time in the league, which matters more?
I have nightmares about the Brighton fixtures every year. I don't know how everyone else feels, but what is it about that fixture? Because when was it? A couple of years ago, I was at Anfield for Brighton and it was a draw, and it's just horrible and it doesn't make sense and it drives me nuts. It honestly just drives me nuts. That team, why? It's like, thorn in our side. So when we were 1-0 down, I just thought, oh, for God's sake. And also at the same time, this match, it sounds really stupid, it felt crucial because of what else is going on in the league.
Yeah.
Even at this stage of the season, I just thought we cannot draw. We cannot, like, it was out of the question to lose. So when I was seeing that 1-0, no, I was livid. But I have to say, what I will say is since Slot has taken over,
right,
I do feel like half-time has become... I don't know how to say it. Whatever he does at half time when things aren't going well, it works. So although they were 1-0 down, I did kind of think it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And those goals were sweet. They were incredible goals. So
it was happening with Klopp a little bit last season.
It was very Liverpool last year, but the second half of it was fantastic.
None of us enjoyed those comebacks all the bloody time. It definitely felt that way. But I must say,
don't take us there again.
When
please.
You look at that goal, Ellie, I'll come to you next. When you look at that goal, there's little to nothing anyone could do about that goal. That was a worldie, like straight up. Like that was an amazing goal, amazing finish. I don't think he could put it anywhere else where Kelleher couldn't get it. So it's not like Saka's goal where it's near pulse and I think he could have done better. This was a worldie.
Yeah, that was an absolute, you know what? And the thing that I was concerning about the first half the most was the lethargy. We were just so slow. Like, everyone was just so leggy. And I thought, oh, what's going on? And the play, that's why, and particularly, I hate to do this, but Trent was really, really, I mean, he gave the ball away so much. And I think he has this real relaxed manner, his real almost lackadaisical way of playing. And when he's doing well, it's fine because it looks effortless. But when he's giving the ball away, it makes it look like he's not trying sometimes. And so even the fans, it got to the stage where the crowd was like, oh, you know, like when he was giving it away, because it happened that many times. And I have to say, McAllister, again, for me, he didn't have the best of weeks. Mm. He played on at Brighton on, you know, early in the week, and he wasn't that great when he came on. And then also, you know, at Anfield, he was just, I don't know what it was. I just really want him as the World Cup winner that he is, as a top midfielder, as the oldest of the bunch, to be leading that midfield, saying, look, guys, don't worry. I'll like, you know, I'll organise, I'll settle us down. But at the moment, it's not. It's left to Gravenberch, and Szoboszlai is trying. And again, he had another one of those games where he wasn't all the best on the ball, but his endeavour is, I think his work rate is very impressive, but he does have to improve on quality, I have to say. So that first half was one. But like Maria said, you know, I was all around us, everyone was just saying, let's just get to half-time. Just get to half-time. Like, it'll be fine, but just get to half-time. It's because he will sort it out. Like, Slot will sort it. And he does, and invariably. And we were actually thinking there was going to be subs, but we didn't think it was been... When we saw Gomez warming up, we thought it was for Trent, because honestly, he'd been that bad. We were like, oh my gosh. But then obviously, Konate had that injury at the very end that none of us really thought was... It didn't seem that serious. But one thing I'll say, which you'll probably like, Dre, is like one big difference between, I'd say, Arsenal Liverpool fans, as many, but when we saw Gomez coming on, everyone was like, oh well, 1-0 down, bear in mind, against Brighton, not playing very well. Not one person said, I didn't hear one person say, oh no, that's it, we're going to, oh this, that, the other. They're like, nah, Gomez is good. We've still got this. Come on, let's go, type thing. Whereas, you know, you're hearing a certain club, when one man goes off injured, oh, we've lost the game, we've lost the league. Oh, no.
Excuses.com.
Like, yeah, man, exactly. So that was really positive. That was really positive.
Suki, walk me through the second half, because my Lord, did we have to exchange some text messages about worrying, and we went from... Every emotion it was. Take us through it.
What a half. I love Gomez, first of all. I'm so glad he's still at our club. I would have been sad to see him go. I think he doesn't get enough respect. I think he does so good for us in any position he plays, whether it's centre back, right back, or even left back last season. I actually thought he was our best left back from when he played last season. So I think he's quality. But we were just brilliant again. I really like how Darwin's playing and how he's linking up with Salah at the moment. Even before the goals, he had that little lob over the defender and that through ball to Salah, which actually Mo should have done better on and put it away. I just think that there's something special happening between those two, and I quite like this Darwin getting these games. Gakpo again, shout out to Gakpo. He obviously got us back. I know it was a sort of fortunate goal because it was a cross, but wasn't. But I thought it was all Liverpool second half. I thought it was obviously the classic game of two halves. I thought Brighton had the better chances first half, but then we had all the chances second half. Gomez, oh, he had those two absolute chances for the goals. I thought those were going to be his first Liverpool goals. I was so gutted he didn't bag one of them. We obviously had Verge missing that, skying that shot as well. I think he probably would have been better to leave that to Darwin. Like I said, Mo should have scored a bit earlier on. But going back to the second goal, it always felt like as soon as we would get the one, we'd go and get the second. And as much as I call out Jones, he was absolutely brilliant for that second goal. So I got to say, that was really good play. That's what I want to see Jones doing more often.
Praising Jones. This is a miracle.
I'm going to be impartial, but he was brilliant. Like, that's what we want Jones to be doing, picking it up from our 18-yard box, driving forwards, playing a 1-2, and then putting a ball through it. And that led to the goal. That was brilliant. And I'd love to see Jones do more of that. Less touches, more being more positive and driving forwards and being that midfield figure. So... shout out to Jones for that. I thought it was good. It was a real, like Maria said, it was that feeling where we really needed to win, given the other results. And it just felt special. It felt different. And I know we have started conceding a lot more the last few games compared to the start of the season. But I'm with you guys again, that was a great finish, and I'm not sure there's much we could have done about that. And that kind of made me feel better as well, because at the moment, I'm just really confident in our defence. So I don't think we're going to leak a lot of goals, and that makes me happier that we're going to sort of grind out some of these results when we're playing best. So I wasn't worried from the second half that we're going to concede that sort of second. So I thought, yeah, really solid performance. I think the 3 points was the most important thing. 8 wins out of 10. What a start. 25 out of 30. I think we're going to need to keep those levels up if we want the chance at the title, because I don't think City have been great. But again, we're only 2 points ahead of them. So it's looking good. I'm sure we will get onto Arsenal in a second. Why don't I ask you the Arsenal questions, Andrew? What did you make of the Arsenal result and where that puts us sort of in comparison to Arsenal City?
I've always said this, and you guys, we've had like long disagreements about this. I've never really counted them as a challenger. I never have. I've never taken it seriously. I'm not saying it's over, because obviously we've got coming up Villa, Southampton, Real Madrid, Man City and Newcastle. And in the Merseyside derby. Now, Merseyside derby, I'm not really counting that. I think we should win that. You know, it'll be a big, massive disappointment if we don't. But if we get to Newcastle with only, let's say, in theory, like just one draw and the rest of them all wins, I don't know who it's going to be against. But like, the Real Madrid and obviously Man City games are the most difficult. That's what I expect from this team, because obviously they're a well-experienced team. They've gone on the run for a long period of time. Nucleus of this team have had experience of going to run to the last day. Their last day and our last day of a title challenge is two different things. Like their title was lost, City beat Tottenham. And that's like with two games to go, I think it was. Or when they lost against Villa and there's a few games to go. So I don't really take them seriously, because one, they can't play the style of football that they used to do when they had Henri, Vieira, so forth. It's not swashbuckling football they're playing. It's defensive low block football. So I don't know of a team that has won something like that, bar Greece in whatever 2002 or whenever that was.
Mourinho way back, old school Chelsea.
Yeah, but they had Iron Robin. They had good strikers.
Yeah, so it wasn't.
I don't think it was like, there will be certain games that they'd be like, listen, we are not going to lose, and that's it. But like, I haven't seen just a desperation. Newcastle, I've had a feeling that Newcastle will beat them. I wasn't going to say how much, but I just had a feeling that Newcastle will beat them. I expect when we play Newcastle, we're going to their ground. Same thing on the 4th of December. I expect us to win or to get a draw. I expect us not to lose now.
I don't think that'll be an easy fixture, though. I do think Newcastle away is a tough fixture.
Agreed.
I do think we've got a round of tough fixtures coming up with the likes of... I'm going to exclude the Champions League ones, but just the likes of... Villa coming up next weekend. I think that's obviously a tough fixture, but that's at Anfield. Not worried about Southampton, but then we have got City, Newcastle. So it's...
You're worried about everyone, because this league shows you that anytime you roll up and you start thinking you've won the game before you won it, and our club is more guilty of that than any club, because I feel that they rolled up with Arsenal because of obviously all the hype and then all the talk and Trent talking about how he should be winning the Ballon d'Or. All this nonsense has to stop. So I'm glad.
No, but Dre, I know you want us to beat Arsenal, but let them off, man. Mate, they were away at the Emirates, man. You know, Arsenal were hyped. They weren't great. Yeah, okay. But what I'm trying to say is we weren't that great. We weren't that bad, man. Come on, give Arsenal some cred. A little bit. Just a teeny bit, mate.
I think it's a one-time, and Slot's going to make, obviously he's learning this league as he goes along. So he's going to make mistakes, and the mistake was playing Jones from the start. I think Jones is a very good sub. He's a very, very good player. That's not a bad thing to be. Look at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He won European Cup being a sub. I just don't think that he is a person that I can rely on starting the game. Maria, like, we both, when his name's on a starting sheet, don't you sink a little bit because you just feel that he's going to give away the ball? And there's certain habits that people have, Salah being greedy, or it might be Diaz, doing the extra pass, obviously. I know he's trying to work out. Darwin just blasting the ball from wherever, or sometimes passing the ball unnecessarily, just doing something without thinking beforehand. There's certain characteristics that players have got. Jones is, I have to touch the ball 6 times each time that I have the possession of the ball. I can't just have 1-2, pass it on. If he done that, he should be in the team instead of McAllister. McAllister knows when to keep the ball or not.
Mac does need to step up, though. I'm with Ellie and Mac. I don't think we've seen the Mac of last year yet.
No.
I think that's a good thing because it means we've still got areas to improve. But I think Gravenberch has obviously been unbelievable, but I think he's dropped off the last couple of games to the levels he was showing before the break. And maybe that will just get sorted in a week or two.
We're playing hard position now.
Of course, we've had difficult fixtures as well. I'd say like teams we've notoriously struggled against the last couple of games. So to get the points we have done is great. But yeah, I want to see more from Mac. We should probably talk about Salah as well because he is just unbelievable. Maria, talk us through Salah.
I think this is his best season yet. And we're just at the beginning. I do, honestly, I do. And he's got a lot of drive and hunger in him. I don't know. We need to keep him. But even if we don't, I know he's gonna win the league for us. It's him because he's the hungry one. And actually, what I'm seeing this season, I don't know if other people agree with this. There's more leadership from Salah on the pitch. There's a bit more going on there. And I think before, that wasn't always apparent. It seemed to have been, I don't recall really feeling that in the past. Whereas I think this season, whatever it is that's going on, he's on fire. The man's on fire and he's breaking record after record. And that's what's keeping him going. That's how he's motivated, by knowing that he's doing incredible things and he's breaking those records, he's smashing it. And I think the whole Ballon d'Or thing as well, with everything going on and whatever, I think that actually spurred him on just to kind of say, well, you know what, whatever, you lot, you carry on. This is what I'm capable of. And I think he's incredible, absolutely incredible. I'm loving everything about the man, literally everything. I see his posts on Instagram and I'm smiling and taking screenshots and passing them on and commenting on stupid things.
he looks happy,
that,
doesn't it?
That last one, post he did was like, that kind of worries me. Like, I can't. I'm enjoying him while I can because nothing lasts forever.
He was like that. He does things like that. We just don't know where they're at in their negotiations. And actually, in a way, I think there's something that's keeping them on their toes anyway. So I don't think
he did that to put more pressure on them. Because things aren't moving as quick as he thought.
Yeah, definitely.
He knows how to do it. He does it. He did it against Man United, and then he did it now. So he knows his time to be like, spotlight's on me now.
He'll reveal the Salah stays when he's going to stay. He'll be sitting by his pool, and he's going to tell us Salah stays, and we're going to be happy again.
One of the three is going, and I just don't know who it's going to be, one of them.
I think Salah's staying. I think he wants to stay.
Who's staying?
Salah. I think Salah will stay. I think Virgil will stay. I think Trent will go.
Okay.
I think Salah just looks really happy. Like the socials, Salah's always, I found, there's always been some kind of unaired or undertone where he has issues with somebody, I think, in the team. Whereas now, at the moment, he just looks like he's happy with everybody. Like, everybody's hugging him, even after his goals. Everybody's just so happy. Yeah, like he's happy for. He was even happy for Darwin when Darwin sort of nicked his goal the other week.
funny.
He just looks happy. I'm with Maria. I think he wants those records. I think he's eyeing up Thierry Henry, Lampard this season, And I think he'll want that 200 before he leaves Liverpool. I think he'll want to be in the top five and have 200 Premier League goals. And I think that's easily achievable for him by the end of next season. I'd give him a two-year contract at the end of this summer, though. I just think he looks like he's in ridiculous shape. I'm with Mayo where he's just playing unbelievably at the moment. He's sort of those curlers into the top left corner. He's done that twice now in the last few weeks. And that's like prime old school Mo.
Yeah, like, I agree completely. But what I'll say as well
is... anywhere else, is he? So he needs to stay where he is to keep getting them.
Yeah, and he wants the records, and I think he wants the Ballon d'Or as well. I think he is definitely going for the Ballon d'Or. I think he looked around and thought, what? That's the standard? No, I can get this. And also, what I will say, this is the first preseason Salah's had in about, I think, is it 5 or 6 seasons or something like that? It's the first time he had a full preseason.
Yeah.
And he was the only senior player back when Slot first came in. So he was like the leader from the start. And I think, and I've noticed at the start during watching all the preseason games, he was getting on particularly well with Szoboszlai. And he seemed to become like a budding friendship there. And then, and also, because he's always had a good friend at the club. I'm not sure he really had that last year. And I think he's now seems to have, you know, a good friendship group. I think he feels a real ownership of this side, a real leader, as an actual leader on the pitch, as opposed to, whereas before Klopp had his favourite, so to speak, which, you know, is kind of hard to displace. But him and Robbo seem to get on really well. They're always together. Even today, there's a picture of them hugging again. And they always seem to, you know, be pictured in the training, walking together, chatting about something club-related, whatever, you know. But so I just think he's happy all round. He had a good rest in summer. He had a full pre-season. He's got hunger to you know, to achieve awards. And like you guys said, I think he's eyeing the records, but he has to do it. I mean, if he goes somewhere else, he's starting from scratch again. I think he knows that he's at a place where he could really break all the records. And again, Carragher, I disagree. You can win the Ballon d'Or at Liverpool, and he can do it.
I'm not going to get into the Ballon d'Or conversation with you two because we've been arguing about that all week, which I vehemently disagree with Rodri winning at all in any form of way. He does not light up anything at all. I'm not saying he's rubbish. He's one of the elite central midfielders or defensive midfielders.
He said he didn't want to get into it, but he's just got into it.
Yeah, I know. I'm still in disbelief. The fact that Salah has not ever... Listen, right, okay. I'm just going to ask you guys a question just really quickly before we go on about, you know, obviously, the fixtures to come. Top five ever in the Prem, does Salah get in there? Does he get in your top three, Suki, then? Suki's nodding for those who can't see.
I've answered that top five without thinking who else is there.
Exactly.
I'd have to have a think of it, but maybe Liverpool is what we should be talking.
Where are you putting him in the top five of all players? Because I think it's only right that he's in that discussion. Of all players, who are you putting him?
I think I'm going to have Liverpool bias. So for me, he does get into a top five, but I can understand why.
Suki, let me just drop some names. Henry, yeah. Cantona, Gerrard.
I've just
named three there, but there's loads. That's what I'm trying to say.
I'll put him above Cantona.
Top five is tough.
I'd put him above Cantona. Henry, I think he's, I'd say, levels with, to be honest. Yes. And
Shearer.
Yeah, it's tough. Look, it's
see
tough.
What I mean?
You're
it's
only
tough.
Looking at attackers.
Drogba, I mean, you got some proper...
He's above Drogba for me.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm just saying that it's a tough... When you're looking league-wide, it's tough because there's been some iconic...
The likes of Rooney after
Rooney's got to be in there.
It's a tough one. Look, we'll see where he finishes. I always like to have where I see him as Liverpool, and he's top two for Liverpool for me.
Top two?
Yeah, I'd put Gerrard number one, and I think Salah's done enough to be top two. I think Suarez was a better finisher for me and more exciting, but I think you can't ignore the longevity of what Mo's done for 8 seasons now. So Mo's top two for me.
Wait a minute, you're putting him above Ian Rush and Kenny Dalglish?
I think so. I'm talking Premier League.
I don't think we can. Yeah, we can't compare. I don't think it's fair to compare those guys. Because it's a different game. It's a different game.
I ain't going back to Roger. I'm just saying.
Then we should do Premier League only.
If we do top five, I'll put him in top five of Liverpool players ever. Like, definitely, for sure. Like, clearly. I don't know if I could put him above Ian Rush. Because Ian Rush used to strike fear Kenny Dalglish, I saw towards the latter stages of him, but obviously I've watched videos. Ridiculous player. You know, Suarez is the best player I've seen full stop. Ever. Like, you
most
know.
Ridiculous. It, yeah. Ridiculous player. Yeah, ridiculous.
He's the best player I've physically seen. Yeah. Best player I've ever seen ever on TV. It was Maradona. But like, yeah, I don't know. I'll put him in my top five for sure. I would argue, I don't know. Like, he's done a lot. Like, he's from the position he's in as well. Like, Gerrard could bomb on. I'm not saying it's easier, but Gerrard could bomb on. You can actually see what's developing in front of
him. No, but Gerrard's team was whack. Is, Gerrard's
this
team
guy
was whack.
Here. But Gerrard single-handedly led
team
that team
dead.
To the Champions League.
you know, he
did that. So, therefore, I put, not in all time, but I put Gerrard above Salah. But Salah is, like, come on now. Some of the stuff I've seen this man do. Like, against the opposition he's against as well. I remember when he made Alisson look like a reserve goalkeeper. Like, when he's at Roma.
I saw a stat the other day, Dre, where I read something like, since Salah's been at the club, 60% of the goals have involved Mo as a goal or assist. 60? That's insane.
And now he's learned to pass. I'm not saying he was like,
he's
overly
that
before,
best assist maker.
But my God, he's such a good. I'm not with you lot on the Darwin thing. Like, when Jota's fit and ready to come back, he goes back in the squad for me. Like, immediately, expeditiously, he goes back
so
in
much
straight
more
away.
Exciting as a player than Jota.
I want the goals and security of goals.
Sorry.
I don't want
Jota's
like,
too
in the whole circus. Of all different things he does. He does everything but score. I want scores.
Dre, let me ask you a question. And I want a really honest answer. I mean, really honest. Against Chelsea and against Arsenal.
A fit.
Sorry. When Darwin, the way he tracked back those two games, do you think, genuinely, be honest now, if Jota was playing, we get a result or a draw in those games?
I mean, if Jota was playing against Arsenal, we would win. He's got there's certain players that have got. Come on, look how many goals he scores against Arsenal. You lot can't even debate that.
But I was saying, how many chances did we even have that we didn't even have? We didn't even really get a look in. It wasn't like it was like we had loads of chances and Darwin didn't take them.
Jota wouldn't have been involved in that game at all. Jota would have just been quiet because he had no midfield.
I just got
game,
a feeling that Jota, when Jota it comes to a defensively, he comes back because that's why he was slot's first choice. So when there's a first choice, we all know who's playing. It ain't Darwin Núñez. It's going to be Jota.
Jota's a better ball player all round. I'm not saying that. Yeah. Well, actually, I don't know now, actually, because the way Darwin's been lately, I don't even know. Nah, but recently, honestly, I have to say, some of those passes he was making, unbelievable passes.
I saw him do something against Brighton on the halfway line when he did a trick and he flipped it over someone's head. But this is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not here for clips. I'm here for goals. So that's... You lot can be entertained with that stuff. I just know the system, our team at its strongest is best with Jota in there.
But I think the team's getting goals because of Darwin. If I look back at some of Salah's goals, Salah's getting assisted by Darwin.
Right. Well, Jota just scores.
Okay, basically, we're blessed. We got both. We're amazing. We got Jota and Darwin. Great to have both
options. And it's no denying that Luis Diaz has started playing worse since Jota's not been in the team. I'm just saying.
But Gakpo's scoring, so it's good. All I was going to say is that... No, what I'll say is that one player I think will come back, will change our team. Is the one player we haven't got a player like is Harvey Elliott. I'm really excited to see how we play with that kind of player. I'm sorry, Dre. I know he's your guy.
I can't wait for Harvey.
Sorry for not respecting it. I'm sorry for not respecting him to the level. He is special.
I think you owe him a proper apology.
I do
that next week.
Okay,
because
cool.
Because I've been saying this for a long time since he first had that stupid haircut when he first came into the squad. He is a special player. You lot will learn to respect him when he's winning that.
I respect him.
The level that I do. Right.
When's he back?
He'll be back when he's back. Don't you lot rush him and make him injured again. He's special. This is what happened in the first place. Put too much pressure on him and he had to do too much for the team. Kept us in the title race for a long period of time. Do you remember that? You lot are ungrateful.
And he scores goals from outside the box.
He scores goals. No circus tricks. Goals. Passes.
And he tracks
goals.
Back.
Exactly.
I like Harvey.
Let's
before you go on, sorry, yeah, go on. Sorry, one more thing. Listen to us talking there about how many different players we're talking about who score and who actually get there in the end. And that's a breath of fresh air. And we should be Saka. Grateful overall.
Arsenal got Saka, they've got Trossard who's dried up now. All right, 1 minute on this because I'm just trying to be responsible. 1 minute on this. Arsenal, right, and Manchester City, both drop points. Are Arsenal, and I'm being, you know, I know people are listening who are Arsenal fans, are Arsenal out of the title race?
I actually think they'll struggle to make top four, but I thought that before this run. No, I'm not even joking. Because at the start of the season, I said Arteta blew it. They struggled for goals, and then he sold three forward players. He sold Nketiah, he sold Reece Nelson, and he sold, what's his name, Smith Rowe to Fulham. Nketiah and Smith, Reece Nelson actually got them goals in key games. Right, and they were already struggling for goals anyway, and then they got rid of them. Nah, man, honestly, they will struggle not because they're getting worse, because other teams have got better and they haven't solved their problem. They've got worse in goal scoring department. So,
you're counting them out of the title race, then, Ellie.
I thought they were out anyway, to be honest. Yeah.
Wow.
No joke.
I think we said last year that Arsenal got lucky in quite a lot of games. Like,
yes,
everything was just falling their way, and they do look like a team that you can get points from now, and especially with Odegaard, it might change when Odegaard's back. I do think Saka is quality. What he did to us and Robbo deserves some respect. So I'll give him fair play to that. But they were so proud of their defensive record, and now it doesn't look like it's too hard to concede against, like score against them. So I didn't think they'd win from the start of the season, but I think they will still be there or thereabouts. I just want to quickly say, though, after 3 games ago, before the Bournemouth game, after the City game when they didn't lose, I saw a lot of AFTV clips, and there were talks of their fans talking about Invincibles. So I think it's quite funny now that 3 games later, they've lost 2 and drawn 1.
Such a delusional fan base, seriously.
Are you not all counting them out?
I think they'll still be thereabouts, but I don't think I never saw them winning the league this season.
All right, so Maria, right now, where you got them finishing?
I reckon maybe fourth.
Fourth?
They're going to be up there.
Disrespect is real.
I don't think so. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of exciting stuff up there at the moment. Come on, I've just seen they're on a run. They're keeping these people down.
Ellie?
Oh, sorry. What I will say, sorry, I forgot to say, the caveat I'll have is that they've been linked with Leroy Sané in January and even Ferguson on loan from Brighton. Now, if they do that, then I think they can finish top four because those two will change it.
Doesn't that make them title contenders?
No, not quite, because I think they could be too far away by then if they're not careful, because they got a tough run coming as well.
Okay.
Right,
so you're counting them out. Suki, you're counting them out as well.
I don't think they'll win the title, but I think they'll get third or fourth. And I think that kind of depends on Chelsea, actually, because I think Chelsea will surprise us. So I see Chelsea as the other top four team. So it depends. Chelsea dropped off the last couple of games, but if they can sort of get back on track, and I think they'll end really well as well, Chelsea. So maybe Chelsea will pip them, maybe Arsenal. Well, I'm not sure. I'm with Elliot. It kind of depends with how January goes as well.
All right, okay. Just really, really quickly as well. I'm just going to, my little hot take I'm going to give per week is now that Ruben, is it Amorim? Has taken over Man United. Let me tell you something now, and Ellie will correct my name, the name I'll give this guy if I butcher it, which I probably will. Victor, was it, how do I say his name? Victor Gyökeres, or whatever his name is. Anyway. This I think it's Swedish striker from Sporting Lisbon. Let me tell you this. If they get him, they will go up the league and they will finish fourth. So I'm going to do this hot take now. Man United will finish fourth if they get that striker. If they get him, they will finish fourth. It's too late for them to be the title.
All right. So what's your top four? What's your top four then?
If they get the striker.
The top four, Jermaine.
If they get him, it'll be us. Obviously, I'm saying this with my chest. Us, then City, either or. Then it'll be Arsenal think we'll finish third. I've said that from ages. And then fourth will be Man United. Mm. That's if they get him. If they don't, then no. Because there's just no one scoring goals. If someone gets, even if it's Arsenal, if Arsenal was sensible, if they buy him, then we got a problem. Because they haven't got anyone to finish their dinner. But he will do that. Like, I will trade him for Darwin Nunes millisecond.
You've not seen him perform here, man.
I'm telling you, this guy's good.
You forget that that league that guy's doing is nonsense in. Darwin smashed it in that league, by the way. That's why we bought him. You need to remember these.
Yeah, but this guy is legit. Like, internationally, Eric, I'm telling you, he's built for this league. He's, honestly. But that's
he was at Coventry when he was here. No one cared. You know,
he wasn't seasoned enough. That's why he wasn't seasoned. Anyway, isn't that stupid?
I think we're too late for United either way by January.
I don't know. I think they're going to have a massive say in the title race. So I'm not going to say something blasphemous like you said about Arsenal's easy to score past now. Like, that's ridiculous. They're still They still block the bus in front of that goal. Maybe you get one or goal. It's not like it's open season now. Right, let's go through the games. I need game score predictions from the game we have against Bayer Leverkusen. First of all, I will start with Maria.
Do you know? Gosh, I think that game is going to be a bit of a toughie, to be honest. I'm going to go...
Remember, we beat RB Leipzig, so it's not like we can't.
I was looking at Leverkusen's current form, and we're kind of level pegging with them in many ways.
Right.
I don't know. I'm going to say 2-1 Liverpool, obviously.
2-1 Liverpool. Okay, Suki, you were looking in depth.
I was looking at Leverkusen's results. I think they have lost, haven't they, already this season, where they didn't last season. I think because of Anfield, I think it'll be a Liverpool win as well. I think, it'll be a tight one, though. So I'm actually going to go... I'm going to go 2-0.
2-0? Okay. 2-0. Ellie?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a draw. And I'll be honest, I wouldn't mind if it was a draw, actually, because we're doing so well in Champions League. It wouldn't be the worst draw in the world. But again, I think it's going to be tight. So I'll pip it by a goal. I'm going to go 4-0. I'm joking. I'll go 2-1, Liverpool.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same 2-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to go with a draw. But, I want us to stop conceding goals, but... Yeah, you can't do anything about the goal that was scored against us. So, but there was other chances for them to score more. Right, okay, we're going to go with the Villa game. I'll do it back. I'll come back to you, Ellie. Reverse snake order. What have you got?
Yeah, again. You know what? We've got the international break after, so I'm hoping that it's going to give everyone like a burst. A burst. Yeah, 8 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, nasty, but it gives us a bit of rest. So we got a longer rest between this game than we had for many games, actually. So,
and then we got the international break.
Yeah, then we got international break. So I actually think we'll be really up for this last game at Anfield before the international break. I think players will be ready to go. So I'm going to go for an exciting 4-1 Liverpool win.
Okay.
Yeah, exciting. Because they're open. I think if we can get going against Villa, they'll play. So, yeah, I'm going to go 4-1.
Stucky?
I'm going to go 3-0. I think.
I remember we did this the last time. I'm just having flashbacks of Nottingham Forest here. That's all. I'm having flashbacks.
Well, I think it's a tough
cricket scores.
Yeah.
And we lost. Are you sure you want to go down this route, you lot?
I'm going 3-0, yeah.
3-0. Ellie, you're not changing yours?
Dre, let's remember, like, Spurs beat them 4-1, bro. It's not like what I'm saying is beyond the realms of reality. It's like... You know, Spurs, you're not saying we're not better than Spurs. Is that what you're saying, Dre? Because come out and say it. That's what I hear it.
What's your score?
Okay. I'm going to go. I'm going to be a bit controversial. I'm going to say 3-2 to us.
3-2.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with 3-1. I'm going to go with 3-1. Yeah, be loads of goals. I think it'll be a tight game, and then we'll pull away at the end. I think we've got more than enough, you know, firepower. That's what gives me belief, because the options we've got going forward off the bench is ridiculous. So, you know, I do think it's the most richest we've ever had. Even when we had the famous three, it was just only three of them, and then Origi used to have to come on.
And Shaqiri.
Shaqiri. I remember that. But now we've got options to score against anyone. So, all right, okay. So you guys saying we're going to still remain unbeaten by the time we next week?
Yeah, it's not like the Forest game, because with the Forest game, we were predicting 4-0, 5-0.
That's Ellie. I blame him solely for that loss. All right, okay. We've caught up with everything, and I'm proud of us, because we've managed, despite our busy schedules and none of us having real dinner, we've managed to still put out a show for you, the people, the Liverpool fans. Please get back to us with what you think about our score predictions and so on, and any other nonsense that we've been speaking about that you agree or disagree with. But until then, we will catch you guys, hopefully unbeaten, next week. Peace.